Welcome to the Shir and Targumim, Parshas Maseh. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Phyllis Leon, marking the yard site of Sarah Tannenbaum. Shalom Shereb and Aliyah, Shasi Moshe Nachas Ruach, from Tor Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the family are involved in. The beginning of Parshas Maseh lists the 42 different travels that Klal Yisrael experienced in the Midbar, the Maseh B'nai Yisrael, the travels. And the question, of course, presents itself, why the Torah sees fit to give us a whole travel log going through all of these various different locations. The Ramban quotes from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim the following: Toeles b'yidiyasam, the point of knowing all of these encampments, is to tell us ki anisim v'ha'osos hanasos heim amitios l'chol ro'eyem. It's important to make clear that the various miracles that were performed at these places are absolutely true. Ach be'osid yiyu dvarim b'shmua v'yachzivim ha'shomeya. Now, all of the people at that time who had experienced these nisim, they knew that the miracles that had taken place in these places were true. But, you know, what happens? Fast forward, to some point in the distant future, and people will say, those stories, those miracles, they didn't really happen. They're legends, you know, it's not really true. So, umeosos hatorah v'niflosa ha'atzumos, amidis yisrael b'midbar bo'im shon u'metzias ha'mon b'chol yom, v'heim rakomos rechokos me'od min ha'yishu v'eino tivios livnei adam lamakom zerus ha'eino v'gefen v'rimon. All of these places where the Jews found themselves in the desert are very far away from inhabited areas. They're not places that are normally, in which people are normally found. So the fact that the Jewish people were able to sustain themselves for so many years, you know, in the desert under these circumstances is nothing short than miraculous. So essentially the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, by listing off the places and delineating the miracles that are associated with these places, it gives more credence to later generations. You know, if you just talk in general terms, there are a lot of miracles in the desert. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. But the more you can document everything, they went here and there was a miracle, and they went there as a miracle, and, you know, the more you can give actual places and names and the like, the more it makes the stories of the miracles believable for future generations. So writes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, as quoted by the Ramban. The Yonasan ben Uziel seems like he is saying something somewhat similar to this Rambam. Again, you know, we have to just read it out or flesh it out of just a few words in the Yonasan ben Uziel. But in the very beginning of the parasha, Eila Maseh b'nei Yisrael, these are the travels of b'nei Yisrael, Asher Yotzum Eretz Mitzrayim L'Tzivosam B'yad Moshe V'Aaron. They left Mitzrayim according to their hosts, Biyad Moshe v'Aaron, in the hands of Moshe and Aaron. What does that mean? So the Yonasan ben Uziel writes, Eilein matlonei b'nei Yisrael dinefaku me'aron deritzmai l'chevel ashon. They, again, he just translates the beginning of the pasuk literally. Kad isavidu lahon nissen. At a time when miracles were made for them, al yad Moshe v'Aaron, through the hands of Moshe and Aaron. In other words, that extra phrase, that miracles were made through Moshe and Aaron, is used by the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. He inserts that into the pasuk. And it may very well be that he's hinting at the idea of the Rambam over here, that the whole point of mentioning any or all of these points along the way is to mention the nisim that were associated with these places. We should just point out, other Mefarshim interpret the need for the places differently than does the Rambam. So the Svarno over here writes, Ratzah hakel yisparach sheyichtavu or sheyikasvu masor Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the list of all of the travels to be written down. Lodia zechusam, to tell us of the merit that the Jewish people had. Belechtom achrov b'midbar b'eretz lo zrua, to tell us how much merit the Jewish people accumulated by following HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the desert, into a difficult place. And this gave them the merit to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, the list of the 42 places, according to the Svarno, is less about, look what miracles Hashem did for us, and more about, look what we were willing to undergo for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So that's just one example where, you know, the Rambam and the Ramban's interpretation of the need for the 42 Masos to be written, you know, can be understood in a different way. Right. So I wanted to go through a couple of specific comments that the Yonos HaBen Uziel has in this list. You know, on the surface you say, well, it's just it's a list of names. You know, how much is there to really to talk about? You know, they left here, they went here, they left here, they went here. But the Yonos HaBen Uziel brings out a number of interesting insights as he goes through. I want to start kind of deep into the travelogue in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Mem. Vayishma haknani melech harod vo yoshev banegev beretz kenoan bevo b'nei Yisrael. The Knani, the king of Arod, who dwelled in the Negev, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, heard when b'nei Yisrael were coming. And then interestingly, the pasuk sort of leaves us with a cliffhanger. It doesn't really describe what happened at that point. Of course, we know earlier in Chumash Bamidbar, Parshas Chukas, the Torah describes in somewhat greater depth what happened at that point in Perek Chaf Aleph. Vayishma Knani Melech Arod Yoshev Anegev Kibo Yisrael Derecho Asorim. Right, the king of Arod, the Knani, heard that Yisrael was coming. Vayilochem biYisrael vayishvi menu shevi. He waged war against the Jewish people, took a captive, the way Chazal understand the pasuk, a single captive. So Klal Yisrael fight back against them. Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael vayitenos haknani v'yachrem esem v'yesorehem. The Jews fight back against this Knani king. They utterly destroy the cities associated with this Knani king. And they call the name of that place Charma, the place of desolation. Rashi, what it brings from Chazal on Parshas Chukas, that this so-called Knani king of Arad was in point of fact actually part of the tribe of Amalek. That Amalek wanted to stop Klal Yisrael as they were on their way into Eretz Yisrael. So they dressed up as Knaanim, they spoke the language of the Knaanim, they pretended to be Knaanim, and they fought against Klal Yisrael in that fashion. Why did they do that? So again, Rashi brings in, back in Perek Chaf Beis, sorry, back in Perek Chaf, Chaf Aleph. Yoshev HaNegev Zeh Amalek. This is Perek Chaf Pasuk Aleph in Rashi. Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Aleph in Rashi. Yoshev HaNegev Zeh Amalek. Shenemar Amalek Yoshev Eretz HaNegev. Vishino Es Lashono. These Amalekim changed their language, Ladaber Beloshim Knan, to use the Canaanite language. Kadeshu Yisrael Mispan LaKadosh Baruch Hu Loseis Knanim B'yodo V'Einom Knanim. Right? It was a trick to mess up the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. This way they would daven that they should be able to conquer the Knaanim, seeing that they were speaking the language of Knaan, but in point of fact, they're Amalekim. So if you're davening to conquer Knaanim, and they're really Amalekim, the tefillos are not going to work. It's an interesting concept. Again, you know, whoever the enemy is, what do I care? Knaanim, Amalekim. But you see from here that tefillah, to be effective in the maximum way, needs a certain number of details, you know.
Obviously it didn't work.
What's that?
Obviously it didn't work.
Oh, so how didn't it work? So it's interesting. Ro Yisrael levusheyem ki levushe amalekim. They kept their amaleki clothing. So the Klal Yisrael took a look at these strange people. They were wearing amaleki clothing. V'lashonam lashon Knan. But they're speaking the language of the Knanim. And they said, we don't know what's going on over here. You know, the language is one language, the clothing is a different clothing. Amru nispalel stam. So they said, we're just going to daven, im nason titeis ha'am hazeh biyodi. If you deliver this nation into my hands, whatever this nation happens to be. So apparently, again, that's less effective because, you know, the more specific you can make tefillah, the more effective it is. But at least it's not incorrect, you know, so better to be less specific than to be incorrect. And that apparently worked once they davened stam. One of the Chassidish Rebbes asked the question, so what was wrong with these Amalekim? Right? In other words, if you're going to do it, go all the way. If you're going to speak the language of Canaan to pretend that you're Canaanim, so change your clothing to Canaanite clothing to pretend that you're Canaanim. Right? You know, what was this? We're wearing Amaleki clothing, but we're speaking the language of Canaan for the same... I mean, it's hard to learn a language. This was before Babel and all of those things on the computer. Right? So, you know, for the same price that they learned the language of Canaan, they could have gone to the local store and gotten some Canaanite clothing. I don't know the difference between Canaanite clothing and Amaleki clothing, but, you know, whatever it is, they could have made the difference. So why did they, you know, they messed themselves up. Why didn't they change entirely? So whoever it was, I forget who it was, but you can hear that it's a Chassidus Shavort. This Chassidus Rebbe said, if you change your language and you change your clothing, then you taka become whatever it is that you're pretending that you are. In other words, they wanted to pretend to be Kna'anim, but they still wanted to be Amalekim. They were Amalekim. If they would have changed their clothing and their language, they taka wouldn't have been Amalekim anymore. They would have become Kna'anim. Right? Once you change your language and your clothing, so then you become whatever it is that you're quote-unquote pretending that you want to become. Again, you can hear the Chassidus, you know, in that particular voice. Al Koponim, so that's what Rashi brings over there from Chazal, that although it talks about the Melech HaKna'ani, really he's a Melech Amalek, right? It's really the Amalekim dressed up, not dressed up, the Amalekim pretending to be Kna'anim. Here, the Yonos HaBen Uziel brings a very interesting twist on this. Ushma Amalek Chayova, the wicked Amalek heard that Klal Yisrael was coming into Eretz Yisrael, v'ischabar b'Kna'anoy, and he joined up with the Kna'anim, u'melach ba'arod, and he became a king. The Amalekim began to rule in Arod. So in other words, the Yoros HaBen Uziel writes that it's not so much that the Amalekim were pretending to be Kna'anim in the sense of just changing the language, but they made an alliance with the Kna'anim, and they were joined together. The force was a mixed force of Amalekim and Kna'anim who were fighting against Klal Yisrael. So that would explain as well the point that Rashi makes back in Parshas Chukas. When they daven, they say, Klal Yisrael say, Im nosom titein es ha'om, please, Hashem, deliver this nation into my hands. Why this nation? Why not just daven Kna'anim? Why not just daven Amalekim? The answer is because they're both Kna'anim and Amalekim. We're fighting together. So Ha'am Hazeh, whoever these people are, you know, whoever they happen to be, again, a different understanding of the relationship between the Amalekim and the Kna'anim, as Rashi brings in Parshas Chukas, but one which is brought out over here. Okay. Yeah.
If I'm off topic, what's the nace? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, apparently, in this particular case, the fact that Klal Yisrael were so successful in beating back what was apparently a very, very strong fighting force, mm-hmm. You know, again, it's not a supernatural miracle, but something that, you know, otherwise might not have happened quite as easily.
Going back to your earlier point about how one idea is that Hashem wants us to recognize Nisim and not to forget.
Right.
That, so, but a military victory is a nace. Yeah, sure, it is. So that's kind of the idea that nace was, we're supposed to remember that nace.
Right. In other words, it doesn't have to be a supernatural miracle. Right. It can be a natural miracle, a miracle that is explainable from a natural perspective, but nonetheless is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to benefit the Jewish people. Okay. So that happens That war happens when Klal Yisrael are encamped at Hor HaHor, which of course is the place where Aaron HaKohen passes away. Just as an interesting small fact, one which people may know, but if you don't know, it's an interesting small fact. The one yard site, which is actually mentioned in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is the yard site of Aaron HaKohen. It's Rosh Chodesh Av, it's mentioned explicitly. All of the other deaths of the great tzaddikim that are mentioned in Chumash are never associated directly in the Chumash itself with a date. And it's interesting how Pashas Matos Masei, or Pashas Masei, which tells us the date of the Ptira of Aaron HaKohen, is always read right around Rosh Chodesh Av, which of course is the yard site of Aaron HaKohen. Just an interesting fact, the way that comes out. So Pasuk Mem Aleph tells us, Vayisu Mehor HaHar, they travel from Hor HaHar, Vayachanu Bit Salmona. They encamp in Salmona. Vayisu Mit Salmona, Vayachanu Bit Punon. They travel from Salmona, they go to Punon. Vayisu Mit Punon, Vayachanu Bit Ovos. Then they travel from Punon, and they encamp in Ovos. You read the Chumash here, you have no idea what, if anything, is happening in these particular stop-offs along the way. The Yonos HaMeduzio fills in some of the gaps, and in doing so, connects what we're reading here to what we read back in Parshas Chukas. So he writes, Unatalu mitavros umenus, Tavros umenus, the mountain of Umnus, is the way the Yonos HaMeduzio refers to Hor HaHar. Ushro bit Salmona, they encamped in Salmona. Asar Huvei Uvur, and that was a place of thorns and difficult things. A place of thorns, a very very uninhabited area. Ba'ara Edomoi. It was in the land of Edom. B'tamon okas nafsho da'ama ba'archa. And it was there that the people became exhausted with the long journey that they had undertaken. The Targum Yonos HaMeduzio is telling us that it was here in Salmona that the Jewish people experienced what's described in Parshas Chukas with the words, Batiktsar nefesh ha'am ba'dorech, right? Literally, the people became exhausted with the journey. That happened in Salmona. Why did it happen in Salmona? So the Targum Yonos HaMeduzio tells us it was a very difficult terrain. You know, it wasn't just, you know, sort of out of the blue. It was a very difficult terrain. They were having a hard time. Again, we can imagine Aaron HaKohen just passed away. They just had this war. They were all tired. You know, so you figure, okay, at least let's get a break. Let's go to Disneyland. Next place they go to Salmona, it's not even a half a star motel. You know, it's a very, very difficult place. And then, of course, what happens in Parshas Chukas? After Batipsar Nefesh Om Badorech, Vaydaber Ha'om Be'elokim Uvamoshe, the people begin to complain. What happens after they begin to complain? If we recall Parshas Chukas, Vayishalach Hashem Ba'om Esanachashim Asrafim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the serpents against the people, they begin to bite the people, and they're only saved when Moshe Rabbeinu goes, makes the Nechash HaNechoshes, the copper snake, puts it up on a pole, and that saves the people. When you read Parshas Chukas, the impression that you have is that the people start complaining, and like 3 minutes later, snakes start crawling out all over the place, right? You have no sense when you read Parshas Chukas of what the timeline is in terms of all of this, you know? I mean, that's certainly the impression you have. Vayidaber Ha'om Be'elokim Uvamoshe, Vayishalach Hashem Ba'om Esanachashim Asrafim. When did he send the snakes? You know, maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, but, you know, shortly after they begin to complain, they're hit with a barrage of snakes. We read the Targum Yonos HaMeduzio over here, and it gives us a very different perspective. So, we read how they had traveled. They in Salmona was where they complained about the journey. Then in the next pasuk it says, "Vayisu mit Salmona vayachanu bepunon." Unetalu mit Salmona, says the Yonos HaMeduzio. They left Salmona, ushro bepunon, and they encamped in Punon. Asar degori Hashem behon yaschivoyon kolon. That was the place where Hashem sent against them the fiery serpents. Usleikos kaveltahon adseis shemayo. And their tfilos, their screams, went up to the heavens, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their prayers by, you know, telling Moshe to make the Nechash and Nechoshes. So something very interesting emerges according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. There was the Nechashim, the snakes, were not an immediate reaction to the complaining of the people. Right? The people complained in Salmona. How long were they in Salmona? We're not told. But certainly they were there for some period of time. They complained in Salmona. They then traveled to Punon, right? How long did it take them to travel to Punon? Again, we don't know, but some amount of time, presumably. And it's only in Punon that they then experience the whole episode with the snakes. So I think it's an incredible lesson in the following sense. You know, when we read Chumash, the Chumash presents certain events clearly as being cause and effect. The people complained, so Hashem sent snakes against them and they bit the people. Right? Cause and effect. How foolish could these people have been that they didn't see that their complaining brought about, you know, these terrible snakes that were sent against them? I went to Shul. I can figure it out. I heard the lane in Parshas Chukas. But let's change the scenario a little bit. That's not what the Yonasan ben Uziel is telling us. They complain, let's arbitrarily take a month, right? Again, this is probably inaccurate, but you know, it's probably more accurate than what we thought beforehand. They complain in Cheshva while they're in Salmona. In Teves, they travel to Punon. And sometime in Shvat, there's a plague of snakes while they're in Punon. Would they automatically connect the plague in Shvat to the complaining in Cheshvan? Not necessarily. The complaining and the snakes happen in two different places. And there's probably some time lag. There's almost certainly some time lag. Whether it's as significant as what I described, you know, from Cheshvan to Shvat, I don't know. But it might, for all I know, it might be more than that. In other words, there's certainly some time lag and there's certainly a change of location between the complaining and the punishment. But it's important for us to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to events is not always immediate, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a cause and effect relationship between what we do and the response that comes about. You know, it's not as if, you know, the person who does an Aveira is going to get struck by lightning 2 minutes later. But the fact that he doesn't get struck by lightning 2 minutes later doesn't mean that there isn't Schar Va'onesh in the world. You know, as they say in English, you know, the wheels of justice, you know, may grind slowly, but they grind very fine. In other words, you know, it's not always immediate, the cause and effect, but there certainly is a cause and effect. I think it's a very important point that's brought out over here. Interesting to note, and here the Oz V'Hodor commentary on the Yonasan ben Uziel points out that the Ramban seems to learn the sequence of events somewhat differently than the Yonasan ben Uziel that we just quoted. The Ramban over here writes as follows. He says, it was indeed in Salmona that the people complained. That's the Ramban writes as well. V'sholach bohem ha-nechoshim hasrofim belechtom baderech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent these snakes against the Jewish people as they were traveling. That seems to be a little bit different than the Yonasan ben Uziel. The Yonasan ben Uziel says they came to Punon, and that's where the plague happened. The Ramban says, no, as they were traveling, that's when the snakes attacked them. Uvechanosom b'machane, and when they encamped. V'asa Moshe nechash nechoshes. So then Moshe made his copper snake. And they brought the snake with them on the pole throughout their travels. And while they were in Salmona, and while they were in Punon, Velosara Mehem, and the snakes didn't go away, Ad Shechanu Be'ovos, until they came to Ovos. Again, they went Salmona, Punon, Ovos, right? From Salmona to Punon, to Ovos, they were afflicted by these snakes, and the rod, you know, the nace, the rod, the pole that had the Nechash HaNechoshes on it, was something that the Jews were taking with them as they traveled through the desert. So this also, I think, is a very different image than perhaps we kind of assumed, you know, either based on just reading the Chumash simply, or probably more likely based on whatever child's book we read way back when they depicted the story. You know, we have this image in our heads. So there were nechashim, right? They're snakes. Moshe Rabbeinu makes the Nechash HaNechoshes. How long does it take to make a Nechash HaNechoshes? The truth is, I would imagine it takes a certain amount of time. You know, it's not like you know, he ran into his tent, pulled out his instant Nechash HaNechoshes kit, and put it together. I imagine there's a little bit of time involved in that, right? But I think somehow in our minds we think, okay, he made a Nechash HaNechoshes. It's only one pasuk, right? How long could it have taken? It only took a pasuk. Right, he made a Nechash HaNechoshes, put it up on the pole, and boom, everything went back to normal. I think that's how we sometimes read the pasuk. Comes now within the Yonos HaMenuzio, perhaps that is correct. You know, the Yonos HaMenuzio doesn't address how long the plague of snakes lasted for, but within the Ramban, that's clearly not correct. The Ramban says that they were traveling, they were fighting off these snakes from Salmona to Punon to Ovos. And the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu put the Nechash HaNechoshes on a pole was that they should be able to carry it with them as they went through from one place to another. So how long did that last? Again, we don't really know. But it could be that it lasted months. Right? Again, if they're traveling from place A to place B to place C, and all throughout they're being afflicted by these Nechashim, again, as far as we... it might have been something that was months long in duration. For that matter, how long did it take Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Nechash HaNechoshes? Probably also was an instant. You know, to make something out of copper, you have to take the molten copper, you have to form it, you have to shape it. I imagine it takes a little bit of time. You know, maybe he had it ready the next day. I don't know. But certainly the plague of snakes itself, according to the Ramban, was something that lasted a significant amount of time and had to be dealt with over that extensive period of time. So again, all these things, the Pirushim of the Yonos HaMenuzio, this particular comment of the Ramban, which is different than the Yonos HaMenuzio, but also gives us a little bit more insight into a story that we're familiar with, but as we go deeper into it, we realize that we're not quite as familiar as we thought we were once upon a time.